Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As we continue to study the system of salvation that is presented to us in the New Testament book of Romans, we're in the 8th chapter. We've just begun the 8th chapter. And the first two verses, the Apostle Paul has mentioned two laws. One is called the law of sin and death, which simply means you sin, you die. But there was another law. That's the law of the Spirit of life. That's the law of Christ. And the law of Christ delivers us from this law of sin and death. And keep in mind, friend, the system of salvation is a system that includes law, and it's God's law. And then as we read in verse 3 and 4, there is another law that to which he refers. And he says, but what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here in this verse, he's talking about the law that God had given through Moses. It was not ever designed to forgive the sins of men. It was not intended to be the way of deliverance from a sin. It is actually the flesh of man that is weak rather than the law itself. The book of Hebrews says it is weak. The weakness of man's flesh makes the law of Moses seem weak in that it was unable to accomplish salvation from man from the law of sin and death. Oh, there's a difference between defining sin and delivering from sin, isn't it not true? The Mosaic law did the first, but it couldn't do the second. But God did something else to accomplish the deliverance from sin. What he did was to send his Son in the form of man. He was human and divine while here upon this earth. He came that he might condemn sin, and man might be granted freedom from the law of sin and death. The righteousness of the law, that's the system of salvation. It was impossible to be achieved through the Mosaic law, but it made necessary the forgiveness of sin for man to be delivered. Righteous can only be forgiven, friend, by forgiveness. It can't be accomplished by the good deeds of men, but by the grace of God through forgiveness, the transgressions of men can be wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Paul continues, having mentioned these three laws, the law of sin and death, and there's the law of the Spirit of life. The law of sin and death can be removed by the law of the Spirit of life, but he shows that these two laws exist. The law of Moses could not get rid of the law of sin and death. Then he says, beginning with verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now here he is emphasizing the Christian is the one who fulfills the righteousness of the old law. And Paul notes that those who mind the things of the flesh, they're in contrast with those who mind the things of the Spirit. And though they be in the flesh in the sense of being in under the old law and sin, they can be delivered from that. The fleshly-minded person, though he cares little or nothing for the welfare of his own spirit before God, he can be delivered if he will only follow that law, the law of the Spirit. Now, there are two states of mankind mentioned here in these passages, and they are poles apart. The carnal-minded brings spiritual death. The spiritual mind brings life and peace. The carnal mind, meanwhile, places himself in opposition to God, enmity with God. There can be no harmony between the carnal and fleshly and sinful way of life and living true and faithful unto God. One is at enmity against the other. One dominates over the other. There is no way for the fleshly-minded person to be subject and obedient to God in that state. Not while he stays in that fleshly mind, not while he lives in a sinful manner. He simply cannot please God in that condition. And Paul is presenting here in the book of Romans, however, the way that he can be delivered. In the flesh, when he's talking about in the flesh, obviously it does not refer to being physically alive, but the people he's writing to were physically alive, but his speech of a spiritual condition. You see, Christians are not those who live in a sinful, spiritual, in-the-flesh condition. They live in the Spirit, and that's synonymous with living in Christ. Paul is affirming here, then, that the Spirit of God dwells in those who are in the Spirit. The Christian has fellowship with deity. That's what dwelling with God is, and God dwelling in us. We have fellowship with God. As one walks after the directions of the Spirit given in the Scripture, as one lives in obedience to these directions, why, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And that's the nature of the situation with the Christian. In the latter part of verse 9, he says, "But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Well, here's that fellowship again that's mentioned. Here he speaks of the Spirit of Christ. To belong to Christ means to have the Spirit of Christ. It means that we have fellowship with Christ. We find Christ is in us. As one indwells us just as well as the other does, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, Christ dwells in us. We also learn from Scripture that the Father dwells in us. The Christian, you see, is in Christ, and Christ is in the Christian. The Christian has fellowship with Christ because he's in a saved state. And Christ has fellowship with us. In this state, the body is not the controlling factor of one's life. The passions and the lust and the sins of the body, they are brought under control. The Christian has life because of the righteousness that's given by the Spirit. In beginning with verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live and be through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, and ye shall live." Now here is the condition of the Christian. Bear in mind, as we continue to study these verses, the system of salvation is the theme. And in this system, the Holy Spirit dwells with the Christian that partakes of this system. It is by and through the Holy Spirit that Christ was raised from the dead. It's this same Holy Spirit is the one to whom we look for our own resurrection. What the Spirit is said to do must also include the cooperation, of course, with the Father and the Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all have fellowship with the Christian. But the Christian, having that fellowship, he is obligated to refrain from the fleshly, sinful way of life. We are debtors, Paul said, debtors to abstain from evil. And but having put to death the sinful deeds of the body, we can have eternal and spiritual life. But please notice that it is through the Spirit, that is, by the means of the Spirit, that the deeds of the body are mortified. Now man by himself, he cannot put away his sin. He cannot obtain deliverance from sin. We learn that through following the way that God has revealed to us by the Spirit of the system of salvation. Beginning with verse 14, and we may not get very far on this, but we'll begin it. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." Here Paul affirms that Christians are the sons of God. And the way the Holy Spirit leads us is by and through the Word of God to become the sons of God. Christians once were in bondage to sin, and that's such a dreadful, fearful state of doom. But we've left that. We've left that former state. We've left it by being adopted by the Father. We are now his children. We are his heirs. We have every right to refer to him as our Father, Abba, Father, the term Abba being a term of great endearment. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, indeed tells us how that we must become and how we must remain a faithful child of God. That's what's involved in this system of salvation. And friend, I can know whether I've conformed to the ways of the Spirit. The Spirit teaches us what to do to be saved. I can know whether I've done it or not. And when the Spirit tells us by the Word what to do, and I can know that I have done what he tells us what to do, then I can know I am a child of God. The Spirit testifies not to our spirit, but with our spirit. Friend, I want to make this closing point. When we take what the Spirit has testified unto us by and through the Word, and put alongside that our own testimony as to whether or not we have done what the Spirit has directed, that's the way that we can know of our relationship with God. When we have done what the Spirit tells us to do, we can know that we are heirs of God, and we shall receive the inheritance that God has promised to those who are his children. And in God's good time, the Christian will be glorified with all the redeemed. Well, this is all we have time for today. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time. Oh, I find it here.